Welcome to this Nerdy Board and Almost 30 short. We're going to talk really quick. I mean, we were recording a podcast, and we were thinking about our upcoming Dungeons & Dragons vignette. Sarah's going to storytell for her first time, and we're all really excited
Very
for it.
Very excited. First time dungeon mastering. I'm excited.
It might be fun to record it.
There may be a very special
edition
Dungeons and Dragons module.
Yeah.
Maybe more. Leaving it open-ended, kind of. Maybe. I don't know.
So Sarah wrote like a Choose Your Own Adventure, which is pretty cool. She's been doing a lot of creative writing recently that she's been more open to sharing, at least with me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exciting. One of the things she's been working on is a Dungeons & Dragons story. It's going to be her first time storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pretty much has full reign. So I think she made a few characters that me and a couple other people are going to get to choose from next week. And we're just going to go over the characters and the options here.
Yeah, and the main thing with storytelling is that I want it to be interesting, and I want characters to have agency, and I want it to be simple and streamlined for the players. Because that was like my biggest grievance when we played a couple of times, is that we got caught in the monotony of doing combat.
A dungeon grind.
Yeah.
It becomes a dungeon grind.
Yeah, grinding. That's what we were doing, and that wasn't as much fun, so I'm going to like... While I do feel like I'm taking a lot of control over it, I think that the people I'm going to be playing with will be flexible enough, and like, I have no feelings of like being an adversarial. Like, I want to win and have my weird characters kill you. I think that is a really strange place to be coming from for dungeon masters. I just want it to be cool and fun. So I'm doing like a bunch of pre-made characters basically to make it easier, but if things want to be changed around, like, that's awesome. That's great. We're all writing this together, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I think the challenge is how do you write a story and direct a story that is essentially a big improv?
Yeah, that's the main thing, is that, like, trying to prepare for this is that I don't know where it's going to go with everyone. And I want to be able to, like, think quickly enough. But main goal... as of now, in like just beginning writing it, is I want to give like different possibilities for different storylines. So essentially, like, what I have in my mind is I created like three different plot lines that characters can choose to follow, and each of the characters that I have designed have a reason for wanting to follow all or especially one of those pathways. And do you want me to like kind of give like the context of it, because you'll be able to know this as a character? This is gonna be like,
yes, I mean,
we'll start it. Yeah, okay,
whatever you want to share is totally up to you.
All right, cool. And this is like all up to criticism also, so if you
okay,
have ideas,
sure.
Like,
yeah,
don't be worried about saying that's stupid, because
I'm never worried about calling you stupid.
Thank
so
you.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna take a shot first, just a sec.
Yeah, they're waiting.
Mm-hmm. I know I have fans.
Yeah. All right. And I'm really excited because.
Me too.
Yeah, you know, like one thing is. You are often really quiet, right? But I think you're really insightful, and you're good at seeing people's motivations, and you're good at expressing those motivations in a way that's easy for other people to digest.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So, like, I think these are good qualities when you're trying to find ways to motivate or manipulate, however you want to paint it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people into moving forward in a narrative that you're trying to construct.
It has to make sense. Like, bottom line, it has to make sense why these different people are coming together and doing something.
But not just for, like, the characters that you create, but also for the people playing those characters that you create, right?
Oh, yeah, you want them to have fun doing it and, like, encapsulating the character partially, but then, like, still being their own person.
Yeah.
Like, we're not playing with Leonardo DiCaprio, the greatest actor of our time.
I mean, Matt Damon would be so lucky.
Oh.
So let's hear the characters. Who's first up?
Yeah, I'm not going to, like, read my way too many paragraphs on story creation. The basic context is that our adventures are in the city of Rosewarne. It is a prosperous city, has been since its inception, and it's always been like a big place for artisans and alchemists and traders.
Question.
Yeah.
So it's been prosperous since its inception. Tombstone had silver. What industry brought up Rosewood?
Rosewarne.
Is that the name of the place?
Yeah, Rosewarne is the name of
Rosewarne.
The city.
Rosewarne. What brought up Rosewarne?
It is, it has a nice, like, coastal area, so it has a bay, so it's
tourism.
Open for... So it's open for sea trade, and it also, inland, has salt mines, but more important than that, a lot of the people were able to develop after this one famous alchemist, what was his name? Engar Rachtfort. He was a famous alchemist, and
Engar Rachtfort.
He was able to devise a way to make a bunch of different colored dyes using some of the minerals in there. So their, like, artistry and craft work just boomed. They're able to, like, make all of these different paintings. So they have all of these crazy, highly pigmented colors.
So do they sell salt. Do they sell pigments? Is that their primary export, or is it salt?
The primary export is salt. And
but by price?
The pigments, they don't usually sell those so much themselves. With, like, after a bunch of artists came in, there was, like, such a large population of them creating the art. And, like, not even art, too. Like, just dyeing clothing.
Textiles.
Yeah, textiles was a big thing.
So the industry around the pigments is the export, not necessarily the pigment themselves.
Yeah.
And then they've also got salt. That's their main, like, industrial export.
Yeah, the salt was the first thing because that was, like, obvious to everyone. Like, oh, this is going to work as a preservation. So that kind of, like, it gave them their initial money.
Capital, yeah.
And then Engar Rachtfort came in.
Engar,
like,
Rachtfort.
Like, 1,000 years ago, he was this struggling alchemist. And he was
struggling alchemist. Came out of alchemist school. He didn't know what he was going to do. He's sleeping on his buddy's couch.
Straight out of Waynewood. He was just a struggling alchemist. I just thought of a name. I'm sorry.
Wayne's World? What'd you say?
Waynewood?
No, I know.
Shut up.
Somebody's dick. All right.
And he crushed up a few of the other minerals that he found.
That's how alchemists.
And yeah, he just crushed. You played Skyrim? You know how it's about.
Gonna crush the puss.
And he saw that they were, like, really highly pigmented. And he actually mixed one. Some of his sweat fell in. That's how he found it.
You know, the origin story and everything.
I just thought of that.
Okay.
But yeah, the more real you make it, then
I think to some degree, you don't have to be that, like, even saying his name, you just refer to him as, like, the alchemist, right? Like, that's how the town referred to him, like Rockford, Pope.
No, right? Dude, because his people afterwards, so, like, for about 300 years, like...
Oh, this was a while ago.
Yes.
Okay.
This isn't, like, universe creating, this is one city creating. I just want it to make sense. So, for 300 years, they enjoyed, like, great prosperity, and, Engar Rachtfort, his line didn't exactly, like, die out. The new lordship, like, they traced their lineage to him, and they got, this one guy right now, Acheron, who took over Rosewarne when he was 15 years old. And so the past 20 years, like, everything has been declining greatly. Because this guy, like, he wasn't trained to be the lord. His older brother was. But his older brother mysteriously died 3 years ago. the same time that...
bum, bum, bum.
This was around the same time that Acheron started hanging out with one of his favorite whores, Anya Danton. Those also French known whores. As Anya Silvertongue. And she is now, like, his main advisor. So
are these all humans so far?
These guys, yeah, they are humans. I don't know if that's going to be, like, my racism. But, yeah, I am, like, picturing the people in charge are mainly humans.
That's one thing I don't think D&D is good at addressing.
Actually, Anya's not. She could be half a half-elf.
I think that makes sense.
It's a prosperous enough city that there actually is, like, a community of half-elves.
Okay.
Like, this is a big place.
Population?
I don't know what that is yet.
I mean, if you're looking at, like, I think the population of London during medieval times was about 80,000.
Okay, it'll be comparable to that then.
Yeah. It's just that everybody was smushed in together because you...
Yeah, this has, like, there's a very direct split between, like, the lordship and the wealthier group. Like, they're all on the coast, obviously, because it's a nice place. And then there's actually, like, a system of canals, and, like, literally past the canals are the poor people. And they're closer to the mines.
Okay. So there's the setting. Is there anything else you want to say about the setting before you introduce the possible characters?
Yeah, this is where we would meet our adventurers is the Lord Acheron himself can't be bothered with, like, holding reception for people and their little grievances, mm-hmm. but his advisor, Anya Silvertongue, is the one who is, like, listening to people and their grievances. They generally tend to be wealthier people who are able to get audience with her. So one of the people seeking audience with her is a merchant. In the past, like, 20 years, as Rosewarn has been on a steady decline, the trade routes inland have just been beset with bandits. So, like, traders and merchants, like, they still really want to get through. A lot of the time what they're doing is they're, like, paying people to protect them, or, like, if the bandits come around, they try to pay them off instead of, like, just getting ransacked, but that's not really as useful. So one of the merchants is, like, talking to Anya Silvertongue, like, hey, I had to, like, hire these people to protect me. One of our adventurers is Magdalene Fist, a dwarf fighter, also known as Madge the Fist. Her name is spelled, like, P-H-I-S-T. That's what makes it clever. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And cool. she just spent a long time protecting this certain merchant going through the trade routes of a Giant's Hall.
And what's her weapon of choice?
You know, I'm going to, like, really leave that up to who wants to play her.
There's no... So are you creating classes
I'm for going to characters? Yeah, like, she's going to be a dwarf fighter.
Oh, so that's really open-ended. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to, like... I haven't created the, like, character sheets, but I do plan on doing that.
Yeah.
And then that'll just... Like, there'll be choices. Like, hey, would you rather use a hammer or a long sword? These are, like, the drawbacks and the bonuses. If you don't care, then, like, just... We'll choose one.
You just gave me a really cool idea.
Good. Can you say it, or are you just going to think it?
I kind of want to flesh it out. Ultimately, like, it would be a really cool, stupid online tool to, like, have a character creation questionnaire.
Ooh.
That then creates a character sheet for you that optimizes your stats for, like, the flavors that you want, right? So you say, like, okay, do you want to fight one-handed or two-handed? Do you prefer to do this or that? You know, like, you go through these questions, and then the character sheet gets generated for you.
That's a really, really cool idea to, like, open it up for new players.
Yeah, the character sheet is made. It's optimized for your skill set. Done.
Because it's easy to think of, like, that question, oh, do you want this person to be using a hammer or a sword? Versus like, oh, well, I can either get this like D10 hammer or a D8 sword with slashing.
But then my offhand, like, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, you don't need to think about that. That's like, I don't know, that's just not the point for me.
Yeah, so. Me either. It's, well, like, it becomes a point when it's an available option.
Yeah, and then you start thinking about it, but do you really want to, like, spend that much time on
choosing? Right, I'd rather just have it just like, okay, this is the best setup for what the flavor you want, go for it. Yeah,
that's a cool idea. I like it. So we got Madge the Fist. She's kind of like our tanky character, dwarf fighter. There is Pippin Waywocket. She's a gnome wizard, and I mentioned the salt mines beforehand. During this 20-year decline, the salt mines, like, people aren't miners by occupation so much anymore. They get sent to the salt mines, and they don't come back. And, like, this isn't something that gets addressed, really. Well, no, because then you just get, like, the foreman. You get
the foreman. Wait, they go in there and the salt falls out? Like,
they're the ones, like, collecting the salt.
No, I get what you meant. I'm just fucking joking.
Yeah, the salt comes out. There's magic.
So it's become sort of like a prison.
It's a labor camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Pippin Waywocket, our gnome wizard, she's high energy. She likes just, like, tinkering with things. She likes fixing things. Around Rose Warren, she's been there for, like, a few hundred years. She's seen the decline, like, after being, I don't know, wanting to go over there kind of near the end of their 300-year reign. She set up shop. She got, like, a little wagon, and she makes and fixes clocks and, like, watches and stuff for the townspeople. And her apprentice, who has a name? Her apprentice is not... No, her apprentice does have a name. Her apprentice, Tristan Rivers... I'm going to change that. I don't want it to be a human anymore. Her apprentice has gone to the salt mines. And she wants him back. Because he didn't do anything wrong. We also have Alistair Mozarty. He's a half-elf bard. He's been singing a lot of kind of subversive songs around, and he got...
The NWA.
He got roughed up by some mercenaries, and they told him to stop singing songs about the Lord Acheron's older brother.
So, he's got an older brother who doesn't rule? Oh,
yeah, died. Because he's dead. Oh,
shit, okay.
But he's been singing these songs about Lord Acheron's older brother.
Can you sing one of them?
I don't have any of the songs yet.
Oh, you better have one of the songs.
I honestly did think about making a song, but I also kind of want, like, someone else to do it.
You know what might be cool?
Hmm.
I was just thinking another thing that might be fun for just storytelling. I call it storytelling because of Vampire the Masquerade.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But, it makes more sense than Dungeon Mastering. That's a fucking grind. is if, like, you... If we created... We may want to create, like, this session of, like, the informative session. Like, you telling the story as a recording to give the players and be like, listen to this before you show up.
Ooh, yeah. Because a lot of this, I'm, like, writing it. I feel like just choosing a character is going to take, like, an hour.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, kind of a bummer.
No, I agree. I think next time, I mean, I think that we're going to meet up with the intention that it'll go quickly. I don't think we're going to get that much done.
No. Regardless, like, there'll be stuff to do. Hopefully it won't be too...
As far as, like, from a UX perspective, if you give people less choices, things progress faster, right?
That's very,
like,
true.
When you show up to Facebook, you either sign up or you don't sign up if you don't have an account.
Yeah.
When you show up, like, if you have an account you're in, then there's, like, okay, you can scroll the newsfeed, look for somebody to talk to, or search the top. Like,
yeah, which has, like, totally been my struggle from the beginning, because I want to give people lots of choices.
Give them choices once they're constrained to the role.
Well, see, these different characters, if you've been noticing, they have different ideas of what they want to do. Like, you got Madge the Fist, who, she wants to clear up these trade routes. Pippin Waywalket wants to go into the salt mines. But the thing is, all of these characters know that the things that they want to do, they cannot do alone. Like, okay. In the last sentence in all of their little creation things is, like, she wants to do this, but knows that can't, like, she's not going to be very effective by herself.
I think you should write them in, what's it called when it's, like, first person?
Iambic pentameter.
No.
I'm sorry, what? I don't know. What was
first person? So I think, like, when you talk about them as, like, these characters you can play, mm-hmm. it's hard to internalize the motivation. Instead, write it like, you want to do this. Did you ever read, like, a...
You ever read my Choose Your Own Adventure? Because that's all in second person.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah. When you say you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is like, this book by Tom Robbins.
How weird.
The whole thing.
Was that the Frog's Pajamas...
I forgot what it was called. Oh. Like, it was like Ladybugs or some shit. I remember
reading something by him.
It was really good. You're like some lady. And like, he's just telling you what you're doing the whole time. Mm-hmm. It is really cool. I was like, oh, this is amazing. But maybe if you write, because like, it's really hard to internalize those motivations. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you have to point them out. Be like, oh, these characters want to do these things. And you're going to take that role. So you, like, the bridge that the player has to make is that like, oh, I want those things, but they're not actors, right? They're not going to, like, make that bridge automatically. They're mm-hmm. just going to be like, I want to be a gnome that blows things up.
Yeah.
So if you write it like, okay, like, you want to find this person and you want to do this, then they pick the role based on what, like, it says they want to do.
Okay, cool. No, that's a good thing. Because I have, like, little paragraph, well, like, long paragraphs.
Yeah.
Explaining what that person is doing and wants to do, but I think doing it in second person would make it more personable. I like it. And that's also like a thing, is I don't know if I'm giving people too much information. Actually, more information on themselves, so like that makes sense. Regardless, okay, so we got Alistair Mozzardi, he's an half-elf bard, he's been talking about Lord Acheron's brother, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's just singing songs. So he got beaten up. Like, he got beaten by this group of people who all had, like, the same symbol on their arm.
How does he feel about that?
He feels upset because he's been, like... He's only been in Rosewarne for, like, a month or so, but he's really good-looking and he's really talented. So he's been, like, going around...
Billy Zane in that movie.
He is, like, Billy Zane. So he's been going around, like, playing private clubs and, like, private homes and going into, like, lounges.
Wow, where are we?
Going to the nicest brothels. And, like, he got punched in the face and his face is his meal ticket. So he's upset. He wants to be is this
illegal? Is he intimidated, though, or is he...
He's more upset than intimidated, because he's got some power up his sleeve also. Like, he's okay. Also very vain. Like, he's wealthy. He's been playing all of these places.
Oh, okay. He's
very well known.
So he's not, like, some wandering minstrel. He's, like, an established name.
He's only been there for a month, but everyone knows who he is.
Okay.
He's okay. Billy Zane. He's like, if Billy Zane came to town and, like, had a liar.
Okay.
And we got... Moss, the halfling druid.
Okay, so, I want to hear about this guy. This is the one I'm most interested in playing so far.
Yeah, well, this is the person that was mentioned earlier. She is the halfling druid. All of the genders also can be changed. I just, like, I haven't, because it doesn't matter.
Make a transgender one. I don't care.
I really don't give a shit.
Okay.
It's really just for, like, pronouns. So, Moss is a halfling druid.
In Vampire the Masquerade, all the pronouns are female.
Oh, wow.
By default. Anyways, go on.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah, they're all bitches.
Yeah.
Freaking vampires.
So this halfling druid has been living around the forests on the inland side of Rosemorne, for like a couple hundred years. Yeah, halfling. And she has been noticing that as the salt mines have been getting bigger and bigger, then like the mines for the pigmented minerals also, her waterways are getting poisoned. Like there's arsenic in the water. So
she's like an environmentalist hippie.
Yes. This is the third time that she has been to see Lord Acheron, but it's like it's never actually been him because he's too busy. Like he doesn't want to fucking talk to people. And she's going into protest that like the mines need to be shut down or they need to be more like environmentally friendly. Ooh. She should be. Yeah, she kind of has to be.
How?
She was not raised in the forest, but decided to go out in the forest, like in her adolescence. I'll flesh it out better.
Flesh it out, yeah.
Yeah, but no, that's she cool. needs to be able to read.
Yeah, otherwise she wouldn't spells care. And stuff. She wouldn't know that there's arsenic in the water.
She had no idea what that was.
And she'd be like, what the fuck's happening? I don't know.
And we got Torvald Litholdis. He's a human cleric. So I mentioned earlier that Rosemorne is very divided. There's the poor people who are on the other side of the canals, and they all, like traditionally, pretty much like the vast majority of them, worship the Lord of the Craft, Onatar. Onatar, the god of the craft.
Onatar. And
I didn't make up that
name. No, I know you didn't. That's awesome.
So they all, like, pretty much all of them worship Onatar, god of the craft, because, like, that's, their city was based on artisans, and even if they're not artisans anymore, like, they have a fierce pride for people who make craft goods.
Yeah.
And as a cleric, he was an orphan raised by the church. And not, like, hardly anyone at all actually, like, chose to go the path of the cleric. But Torvald did because he's always been kind of, like, big and agile, but not super smart. And he...
like Torvald.
He got some training from an old father of the faith. And he feels like it's his duty to be protecting all of the people who worship Onatar, because that's who he worships. So he's looking out for the poor people.
Okay, he's a shepherd of a flock.
Yes.
All right.
And then, yeah, he wants to improve their lot in life, but he knows that he's not smart enough to do it himself. Really.
The Adventures of Ronald Rapist and His Rapist Friend.
That was just the title that I wrote down because I wanted to make sure that I had it.
Okay, cool. I like the face that you made too, like a little bowling ball man.
Yeah. Oh my.
So those are the characters.
And then there's one more. There's a wild card rogue character. I kind of have a feeling that there should just be like a rogue type thief person in there who like just always goes to these like receptions to hear people's grievances because like they find them funny and like they're really self-interested but into helping out this like other group of people.
It sounds like fun,
yeah, right? So like that, it just says, I don't know, rogues are cool.
Yeah,
so yeah, that would be like a very person wants to create kind of like their own character. Like that's gonna be really open-ended because I don't really want to put that much into it because I feel like we're only gonna have 3 or 4 people playing, so I don't need to make all of these characters.
Yeah, so that sounds kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I like that, and mostly because rogues can be badass. Completely selfishly self-interested and it's part of your character.
Mm-hmm.
You're also a skill monkey. I think I want to play that.
That's kind of why I made it. I thought that you would be kind of enticed to that, and I think it'd be a really interesting character to play that'll give it, like, more story than I'm coming up with.
That'll be fun. Yeah, let's talk about that during the week so that mm-hmm. we're ready by Sunday.
Yeah. I'm gonna like make some character sheets and it'll be cool. Now I'm just thinking of non-playables.
So let's get these character ideas hashed out into like one sentence, right? Mm-hmm. And then we can present them to Michael and Callie.
Yeah.
And say, here are your choices. And then we write, like, we create the character sheets, we get all that stuff done so that when they show up, they're good to play.
Okay.
And if you want, you can have some questions with it. Like, you can kind of partially do the idea of, like, prefab, right? Or you say, like, okay, here are your choices for a weapon. And I think the book actually kind of does this, where it's like, you get this or this, this or this, this or this. Mm-hmm.
So we can just frame those and, like...
Which one's the first one?
The first one is Magdalene Fist.
Magdalene Fist, a sounds like a mercenary.
Yeah, right? She's a sellsword. That's what she's doing there. Okay, so a
dwarven sellsword. Mm-hmm. Any convictions, any like fundamental beliefs in her? Or is she out for the money?
She's mainly like looking for money, but she was like raised with other mountain dwarves. So she has a feeling of like commitment to family.
And where's hers?
What?
Where's her family?
They're still in the mountains.
Or is she making money for them?
No.
Where's the commitment then? Like, what's she doing out there?
That's just, like, because how she was raised. She wasn't raised just, like, by wolves or something. Okay. She was raised in a family unit.
So she has a family. Does she have any responsibilities at that family?
She'll visit them for, like, their equivalent.
So she doesn't really give a fuck about family. Like...
No, but she knows that it's important that you can't just be by yourself.
So if a family member is... Come in!
They don't want to come in.
I'll go open it.
Yeah? Okay, good. I'm scared.
Go get my lightsaber.
We have a visitor. I don't know where it is. Do I have to?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool. We just gotta. I don't know how.
All right, so we've got Madge the Fist, the sellsword dwarf who believes in family and likes to go home for feast day.
Yeah.
Who's the next character?
It is Pippin Waywalket, the gnome wizard. She's been around Rosewarn for a good amount of her life. She's
the wizard with the food cart?
The tinkering cart, yeah.
The wizard she with the clock cart.
And yes, the clock cart.
Whose assistant has gone missing in the salt mines, mm-hmm. and who wants him back.
Yeah.
All right.
Because he didn't do anything
next
wrong.
Character.
And Alistair Mozarty, the half-elf bard who is singing subversive songs about...
The bard whose lyrics went too far and who got beaten by the local authority for it.
Mm-hmm.
But whose privilege gives him the courage or the bullheadedness...
The audacity.
That's a good word. To resolve it in his favor.
Mm-hmm.
These are good characters. I like these.
Moss, the halfling druid.
Moss, the halfling druid, who lives in the forest near the city and is sick of the pollution that's happening because of the industry.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Coming back to town.
Torvald Litholdis, our human cleric.
Torvald, protector of the poor. He's kind of dumb.
Yeah, okay. And then we got our nameless character. She's our wild, or I guess he... It, whatever. They're our wild card rogue character.
And the hooded figure who likes to come to the complaint, the city council to hear people complain for just shits and giggles.
Every week.
Every week she's there. All right. Yeah, cool characters. Awesome. Mm-hmm. This is going to be really fun.
They make sense. Like, and what I kind of got going is like there are three places that you can investigate, really. It's like you can... Look for...
Wait, hold on. Let's see if I can guess what they
okay,
are.
Okay, yeah, that's better.
Yeah. So, you go into the salt mines.
Yep.
Try to find out who's in charge of the town, get past Silvertongue.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's kind of, yeah.
Is that one of them?
It's not, like, directly, that's...
Go to Silvertongue, but, like, the point is you want to get, like, political change.
Well, you're talking to her anyway. That's, like, that's the beginning.
Okay.
So, like, she's the one holding council.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what the last one would be. Let's see. You got poor people. What's happening to the poor people?
They're being oppressed.
By who?
They're poor. They got high taxes. They get sent to the salt mines for no reason.
Is there, like, a local militia or authority that is under the political control of, like, the head dude of the town? And if so, who are they?
Yes, kind of, and that's something that you need to figure out.
So we don't know who the cops are?
It depends on which characters you choose, because there are, like,
that's the little least
parts, like, tying into the authority.
So as far as the church goes, are the church higher-ups aligned with the guy who, the alchemist lineage guy?
I haven't decided that yet.
That's going to be really important.
Because, like, the yeah.
Are they in bed? Is it a yeah. Sin City scenario?
They're all.
Or
yeah, they're
is
all
it a Game of Thrones scenario? Right?
What, like with the sparrows?
Mm-hmm. Are they in bed with each other or opposing forces that you could play against each other? No. This is going to be a thing that the characters need to figure. I think that'll be important.
Yes, it will be. You got your different authority figures right now. You've got Lord Acheron and his advisor, Anya.
Shut up. Just the tongue lady. Just
tongue lady.
Nobody's going to remember these names. That's one thing you're going to have
that's
to
true.
Like, just internalize. Then, we're going to have nicknames for them. Just like you do with everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I just needed something to write down.
No, I know.
And it feels more real to me if I have names for them.
That's a great story. Just go on.
And then you have like the
feels more real.
The muscle that is kind of permeating these different areas. Like, who are the authority that took away Pippin's assistant? Who are the other people that are protecting? And like, who are the other people that are attacking? the trade routes.
Who I forgot about
who,
that.
Who punched the bard?
I forgot about that. To me, it seems like the only people that really have intrinsic motivation are the bard, because he got punched in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Not the dwarf. Like, there's no way that like her like need like the motivation like what I got from her as far as intrinsic motivation was like family, but like there's the straight
yeah,
on her family.
No, that wasn't actually like written into it, but you know, like to the merchant like all
so,
of her money.
So there's the guy, the clock lady.
Mm-hmm.
That's intrinsic motivation.
Yeah, she wants
it
to
seems
get
that
her
she
assistant.
Cares about this person. Mm-hmm. And she wants them back. There's a guy who got punched in the face and wants to right that wrong that he feels. And
there's a druid. She's upset about the forest.
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, I think like what you should write into that to make it more of an appeal is like her animal buddy died.
Okay, make it more.
Yeah, because like, oh, I want this person back, or oh, I got punched in the face. These are things that happened to them.
I have to avenge.
They're not things that like, oh, and like there's, let's try again. Yeah, like
her forest is dying, and she's a druid. It is personal.
But do you remember that scene in The Hobbit, the movie, where Radagast is, like, trying to revive that thing?
Yeah, that little hedgehog.
Yeah, he and, like, you don't know anything about this character. He's mm-hmm. just, like, fucking there. The hedgehog is dying. He's like, oh, it's as if there's some sort of magic. Oh, fuck. And he's like, oh, shit, there's something going on. And because he realized that there's dark magic going on there, he's not just like, I'm fixing this dead hedgehog. He goes and investigates the necromancer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's his motivation, right? Like, that little creature being hurt. Give us the anecdote that describes, and you've done that with two of the characters so far.
Okay, so just throw something in a little more personal.
Yeah, make a personal story
that
gives us the motivation.
She needs
I can
her
say
dead
like,
hedgehog.
Yeah, you can say like, oh, this person wants lots of money, so they got a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
doesn't tell us why they feel like they need lots of money. Or you like, give us that trigger for them. You've done that with two of the characters so far. I think they're really good. Like, why does, like, Madge, right? On the last bandit attack, like, her lover died. And she wants to figure out, like, she's pissed. Like, she knows Sellswords dies, but she also has, like, a reason to be mad, and she wants to find out who these exact people are and fuck them up.
Do you want to have, like, everyone have someone who dies?
I don't know.
Because then, like, if that's, no, like, but the other character. Two haven't died. No, they're just looking out.
Okay, well, okay. I don't know.
Well, it seems...
She sad. Wasn't paid. And she wants to collect. I don't know.
Okay. Well,
like, what does she care? Well, did she get paid? If she got paid, she did her job. She didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, we'll give her a.
She needs a hook.
A reason to dislike. Well, okay, it's because the thing that's kind of like tying her into the other people. On every trip, and this is like she's protected a bunch of merchants. She's done this three times coming through. Mm-hmm. On every trip, she met other hired muscles protecting traders. Nearly all of them were part of the same mercenary group, the Blessed Fools.
Okay.
So, like, that's kind of suspicious, and we can give her a reason to just outright dislike mercenary groups in general, or, like, that specific group. Which would give her a lot of motivation.
Yeah.
Because right now, like, that would just be, like, interesting if she were, like, to fucking Sherlock the Dwarf. I was like, oh, this is weird. A lot of them are part of this one group.
Mm.
But if she has, like, certain beef with them, that would make more sense.
Yeah.
And she's not supposed to be, like, the
most clever. Because, like, if I was a sellsword, mm-hmm. and there's bandits all over this forest, and I got paid to get that person through, I'm totally cool with there being bandits all over the forest, because mm-hmm. once they're gone, I'm out of work.
But if they're bandits that you fucking hate... You don't want them, like... Because they'll be making money also. We'll tinker with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll give that.
She's gonna have something that happened to her.
Mm-hmm. We'll give that more personal.
Yeah, all the characters need, like,
a... You can do the same with, like, the cleric, too. Like, maybe his father altar figure boy. Got killed. Oh. His altar boy. His Robin died.
No, you gotta, like, so with the cleric guy, you gotta do, like, the Hound season 5. So stupid. It was stupid, but I don't know, like, what could happen with the cleric? I think with the cleric, you're dealing with the poor, right?
Yeah, he needs to see something horrible happen to a child because they were poor. You see, like, the people starve to death in the street. You're going to be upset about that as a holy man.
Yeah. The only thing I'd question though is, like, if there's people starving in the street, why isn't there rioting?
They're too tired. Too tired. The meat cake. They all got their Xboxes. They don't care.
So, cleric. I think with the cleric, you can have... a divine intervention, and that'd be, like, a good enough...
Okay.
Yeah.
That would, like, add some cool, like, Joan of Arc shit to it, too.
Yeah.
Like, that'll make him more interesting as a character.
I think with the cleric, you could be, like... And then with whoever... If somebody actually chooses that character, you can take them aside and tell them things as if they're privy to information mm-hmm. that's going on, and they can act on those things. Like... I remember when I was storytelling Vampire the Masquerade, I'd be like, hey, come over here.
Yeah, because you kind of need to have secret information for it to be, like,
yeah, like,
really good. The dialogue between them and, like, all of them getting their needs met.
Yeah.
Like,
if they all know the exact same thing and it's, yeah. like, transparent, like, the intel is transparent, then the dialogue becomes transparent.
Right, and, like, my main motivators are storytelling, and I think that's going to be best told through roleplay.
Yeah.
Which, like, that's what I want. That's what I want to do. I want people to be these characters and speak as them, and not just hit stuff with swords. But that'll be a part 2. I need to make a.
There should only be like two or three fights.
Yeah, because this is going to be a quick one. I'm excited.
Yeah, so far the characters, they're good.
Yeah, you think you'd want to play one of them?
Yeah, I mean, talking, like, now that we've discussed their motivations a little bit more, I would want, like, if I was like, oh, I have to play one of these roles, it'd be one of the ones that's a little bit more fleshed out, like, the
gnome. Well, and I didn't, like, read you what was written either. True. I gave you a summary.
The gnome seems like I would understand, like, they're trying to get somebody back. That's, mm-hmm. That's like, okay.
And so, a wizard? I haven't really looked into what different, like, classes can do, but wizards, like, I kind of want to start them on a higher level.
Really?
Like, if we start you guys as, like, level 4s, and you'll have more stuff to do, but that's also, like, more stuff is more complicated. I don't want to, like, overwhelm any first players.
Yeah, but if they're only, like, 3 fights, that's
true. I know. See, like, there's this whole balance thing going on.
Yeah.
I'll have to look into it, because, like, honestly, I haven't really looked into, like, the actual, like, creating a sheet. Well, you want to, like, pause it? What are you doing? You're, like, signing at me? It's pretty much what we got going on for our new D&D module/campaign.
Yeah, so you've got your characters there, and we're going to try to make it work. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. No, it is going to be fun.
I'm excited for original content.
Yeah, and I'm glad. But, I like, people don't seem to be so dogmatic, like, maybe some of the other people that we've played with in the past. Mm-hmm. And,
What are you, mouthing something at me?
People will be flexible with the rules.
One thing I think that you can do, and then, like, this will go back to, you know, kind of what breaks the role play, is that, like, when people, like, have to, like, when the DM has to go back and be like, Captain Buttersnuck Nuggets, or, you know, like, they have to look up a specific name and open up their book and break the story.
Oh, yeah, since I'm making it, I know these people.
Yeah, exactly.
They're, like, my people.
They're your people. Like, you don't have to sit there and, like, try to get it right because, mm-hmm. like, you made it up.
And that's the main thing, like, reading, like, first-time pointers for Dungeon Masters and stuff. A lot of it has said, like, you don't know what your players are going to do. Which I've interpreted as, if you know what's going on in your world with your NPCs, you'll be able to improv, like, pretty much anything, because you know the world so much.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to do is just, like, create this actual city.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, what people want to do, I mean, the people that I've created, they'll be like, yeah, I know them. This is what they do. And if there's, like, arguing or anything, then, like, I'm open to that, too. Because I just, like, I really don't want it to be too difficult for anyone.
Yeah. You're gonna, it's a bitch if somebody's like, I'm going to go to the next city.
That's, yeah. Like, something like that.
That would happen.
That's so stupid, though. That would really upset me. They'd be like, just give me this one thing, and, like, can you just allow me to let you guys be together as a group?
Yeah, I think maybe, like, I think addressing that up front might be a good thing.
And I was also thinking of, like, I don't know, afterwards, after the meeting, playable characters get offered, like, cool runestones or something that give them a neat power or, like, +2 whatever. But they only work if you're standing next to the other people, like, if you're nearby the other ones. That gives some incentive to stay together. It seems a little forced still.
Yeah, that's the hardest part, is having that. One of the nice things about... actually, let's wrap this up and then we'll talk.
Yeah.
So, all right, so that's another episode of Nerdy Board in Almost 30. Sarah's pre-game brainstorm here. She shared her characters with us. That was awesome.
You know how it turns out.
And we might record it. We might not. We might just recount it. Either way, it'll be fun, and you won't be there. All right.
Yeah, fuck you.
Bye.